Hello, welcome back to another night of learning. This is Ali Nyman. We are learning Leila Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Mizavel, Carol Blas Pinchas, Miriam Leila Basara, Meir Nisham Hamaliyah. We are learning Refu Shlema for all those who are sick, Meir Shir B'Yizchus for, we are learning and davening for them, Meir Shir B'Yizchus for them, and Shem Refu Shlema B'Karov, Meir Shir B'Yizchus for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. Last night we talked about Tisha B'Av. We started about the idea of Tisha B'Av. We read through the Book of Our Heritage, and we really went to the very beginning, which was by the spies. The spies were not supposed to really go to Eretz Yisrael, but they decided to spy out anyway. And when they came back, they decided to give a negative report. And our Chachamim say that they were punished for that. And as a result, that was the beginning, that was the start of sort of the beginning of Tisha B'Av. It didn't happen right away. At that point, the Tisha B'Av was decreed of for basically all time, until Mashiach, for negative things to happen. So we explained last night that it was very hard to understand it, how the spies could have messed up, but we tried to give a little bit of the answer. And so we're going to be moving on into history, and I say that as a very casual term, but it's really Talmud Torah, because when we study about the Meraz, when we study about the Beis HaMikdash, which we're about to do, it gives us insight as to why we have a Tisha B'Av. Why are we sitting on the floor fasting, not anointing, and not wearing leather shoes this Sunday? What is it all about? And so that's what I'm trying to go through between last night and today, to try to understand. On its outlook, on its surface, it looks like a very historical thing. But the idea is that when we delve into it, we see Yad Hashem, that this wasn't an accident. That this was, in fact, something that was very much planned for our sins, and it was stated within Tanakh, explained in Gemara as to what was going on. And tonight, the next few minutes, we'll see how far we get. We're going to deal with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, Rabbi Kitov has pages and pages on it, and we'll see if we can go through a little bit to try to explore the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, what happened and why was it destroyed, so on and so forth. Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, I believe this is the first one, referring to the first one now. The destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash during the reign of King Sidkiyahu occurred in the year 3338, 423 BCE. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 3888, 68 CE, during the era of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Both sanctuaries, that is, both Beit HaMikdash, were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The verse, the Pasuk states in Malachim Beis, in the fifth month, on the seventh of the month, in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, Nebuchadarian, the murderer, servant of the king of Babel, came upon Yerushalayim and burned the house of Hashem, that is the Beis HaMikdash. In Yirmiyahu, however, we find, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month, in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, Nebuzaradan, the murderer, came and stood before the king of Babel and Yerushalayim. The Chachamim taught, one cannot say he came on the seventh, for the verse states on the 10th. And one cannot say it came on the 10th, for the other verse states on the 7th. How can we reconcile this? On the 7th, the Gentiles entered the sanctuary, Beis HaMikdash, and despoiled it on the 8th, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Towards evening, they set it aflame and burned it for the entire day, the 10th, as the verse states. And it says, Pasuk states in Yirmiyahu, woe to us, for the day is ending and the shadows of the evening approach. This is consistent with the opinion of Rav Yochanan, who said, had I lived in that generation, I would have established it in the day of the morning on the 10th, for most of the Beis HaMikdash was burned then. Just as a quick aside, I had actually heard a shir one time from one of my rabbis, Rav Daniel Feldman, explaining, there's actually a comparison to a Gemara Bava Kama that talks about damage, but in specifically referring to Tisha B'Av, the idea was It started on the 9th, but it was in a way, and already most of the burning happened on the 10th, which is the way it falls down this year, as it takes place on the 10th. But it started on the 9th, and the 10th was just a destroyed house. In other words, it was only our sins. That's the idea, that the machokas between Rabbi Yochanan and the Chachamim is, as I once heard, Rabbi Yochanan says, well, okay, most of the burning took place on the 10th. How do we understand the Chachamim, which we possibly like, really ideally, Tisha B'Av is on the 9th, except this year it's pushed off. Because the Chachamim is saying, it was only our sins that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, once it was set aflame, so then the 10th, yeah, it was most of it was burned. But it was in a way, and we go by when it started, because that's really when it counts. Once it was set fire, it was clear from our sins. And anyway, on a very pashut level as well, once it started burning, so that was the end. But the idea on a deeper level is that it was due to our sins. That's why we're commemorating. I can't say celebrating. We're commemorating Tisha B'Av. We're trying to remember that this wasn't an accident. This was because we did not listen to Yirmiyahu, meaning the VM and the Torah, telling us to do Teshuvah. The sages taught, merit transpires on a day of merit, while tragedy transpires in the day of tragedy. When the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the day was Tisha B'Av. It was a Shabbos night. It was in the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. It was during the watch of the family of Yehoyariv, and Levim were standing on their dais and singing. What was the song that they sang? And instead of the regular song of the day, they sang, he brought upon them their iniquity, and because of their wickedness, he destroys them. The pasuk in Tehillim. And before they manage to conclude, they are destroyed by Hashem our Lord. Final phrase of that pasuk, the Gentiles came and captured them. And the same was true of the second Beit HaMikdash, it's Gemara in Tainus. When the Beit HaMikdash was built, its construction was accompanied by a song. The pasuk states, a song of praise upon the consecration of the house of David. And when it was destroyed, there was also accompanying song, as the pasuk states, a song by Asaph, nations have come into your inheritance. Our Chachamim taught, when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, groups of young Kohanim gathered with the keys to the sanctuary in their hands. They ascended the roof and declared, Master of the world, since we have not merited to be trustworthy custodians, let the keys be given back to you. They then threw the keys toward heaven, a hand emerged and received them, and Kohanim then threw themselves into the fire. It's a Gemara in Tainus. I actually did discuss this with my Harusa as to how the details were. Basically, Pashup Shat, they felt that, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it was being destroyed, and it was a symbolic gesture. Exactly what it means that the hand came down, I can't explain it to you for many reasons, but the idea was they threw it and they said, Hashem, you win. The Drashim on the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. For 18 years, a heavenly voice was heard in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Wicked servant, go up and destroy the house of your master, for his sons do not obey him. But Nebuchadnezzar was afraid, for he said, Hashem only seeks to conquer me and to do to me as he did to my forefather, Sancheriv. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He went and established his camp in Antioch and dispatched Nebuzaradan, the chief murderer, to destroy Yerushalayim. Nebuzaradan was there for 3.5 years. He surrounded the walls of Yerushalayim daily, but was unable to conquer the city. When he decided to turn back, Hashem implanted an idea in his heart, and he began to measure the height of the wall. He found that it was sinking at the rate of 2.5 tefachim a day. When it had sunk completely, the enemies were able to enter Yerushalayim. Regarding this, the pasuk states in Echa, the kings of the earth, or all the inhabitants of the world, would not have believed that the enemy and oppressor would enter the gates of Yerushalayim. Rava taught, enough iron hatchets to load 300 mules were sent by Nebuchadnezzar to Nebuzaradan, but they were all demolished in a fruitless effort to break a single gate of Yerushalayim. Thus the pasuk states, and now all of our gates are battered by hatchets and axes. When Nebuzaradan saw that he was unsuccessful in breaching the gates, despite the supplies that had been provided, he sought to return, saying, I fear to me that they shall do to me that which was done to Sennacherib. A heavenly voice then declared, Nebuzaradan, leap. The time has come for the sanctuary to be destroyed. He had one hatchet left. He took it and smashed the gate, and it opened. And he entered and and killed until he reached the Beis HaMikdash. I surmise, I'm not sure. This is probably, he says it's a Medrash. I have a feeling the idea was that he was unsuccessful. Why? Because to give the Jews a chance to do teshuva, they could repent. And so they were given a chance, repent. Now the hatchets were working. This hatch isn't working. But Hashem is giving time. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. They did not do teshuvah. And so that's, I think, the idea that Hashem told Nebuzara, then, you know, it's time, meaning this is the decree. However he understood it, it's also not something that is clear to me. But the idea was that Nebuzara then clearly had this idea that it was time to build the Beis HaMikdash, and whatever was in his heart, he understood, but he wasn't a tzaddik. He did it for, they were Rishayim Gemurim, but he did it for his own personal, you know, purposes. But the idea was that he saw a sign that, unfortunately, Hashem has decreed the worst. He set it afire, and the Beis HaMikdash sought to rise to heaven, but it was stamped down from above, as the verse states, like a press, Hashem stamped upon the young lady, the daughter of Yehuda. Nebuzaradan was filled with conceit because of his success. A heavenly voice issued forth and declared, "It is a slain nation that you have killed. A burnt sanctuary have you set aflame, and you have been grinding flour that is already ground." In other words, like we were saying, that it's been a decree. It's a decree that this should happen. They were the Nebuzaradan was the shliach, if you will. At the time, Hashem told Yirmiyahu, "Go to Anathoth and purchase the field from your uncle Hanamel." When Yirmiyahu left Yerushalayim, an angel descended from heaven and stepped on the walls of Yerushalayim, shattering them. He then declared, "Let the enemies enter the house, for the master is not present. Let them be spoiled and destroy it. Let them enter the vineyard and take the grapes, for the watchman Yirmiyahu has abandoned it. But do not fill yourselves with pride and claim, 'We have conquered it,' for you have conquered a vanquished capital. You have killed the dead people. You have set a burnt house aflame." He does go on to continue about all the tragedies that took place. We may continue. I just want to end off on a positive, constructive note, is that as we enter Tisha B'Av, if we still have to commemorate it, when we study these tragic events, we're supposed to reflect, why did this happen? Was this just an accident? Chas v'shalom. This was a decree. This was a divine decree. Hashem wanted this to happen. And we understand that we could reverse it by what? By doing teshuva. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the big three. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We're supposed to do reflection. How could I stamp out Sinas Chinam? How could I understand and appreciate the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? What have we lost? We're supposed to feel it. We're supposed to try to understand it. And the merit of doing reflection, of trying to understand the what we lost from the Beis HaMikdash, may we see the Seras Tovas, Zelen Ayman, wishing everybody Baruch HaSlach in the morning. With Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. Have a wonderful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.